IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Beaton. Once again, I have the honor to be the host of today's episode. And here with me, there are two dear guest speakers, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Ali, with me here. Welcome to the studio, brothers.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure for us to be here.
Actually, it's been a long time. I've been resisting the urgent temptation to use artificial intelligence for doing my assignments. I didn't make in my PowerPoints, translation, whatever. But lately, actually, I failed against this resistance and I used artificial intelligence and I was really satisfied, you know? Easy, beautiful, neat, organized, and everything you can imagine of an artificial intelligence to do for you. It was perfect compared. And, you know, AI is one of the most controversial topics of today's actually topics around the world. And today, in this episode too, we're going to make a beautiful discussion out of this topic, AI. And from both ethical and functional and religious perspectives. First of all, Brother Ali, can you define AI and also the philosophical background of artificial intelligence?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Actually, artificial intelligence is, let's say, a model which is taking, is an imitation of human intelligence, but it is based on machines and systems. That is, some machines are given some data, some information, different kinds of data, but at the end of the day, they analyze the data that has been given to them based on some certain algorithms. And these machines and, let's say, computer systems or digitalized systems, they are working on analysis of those data. And the outcome is something that might astonish the human being, because as much as we give them the data, we enrich the system or machine from data, we make the system learn, then we are expecting something to give us as an output to us. I mean, this is the natural outcome of giving information, or let's say injecting information into something in the machine. So this technology has been actually flourished in recent years, and it has been a cause of, I don't know, a challenge for some from the let's say the decision makings level to the ordinary level and common lay people. So some believe that it will revolutionize the life of human being, and it will reach it to let's say a utopia that human beings were looking after, yeah. And some believe no, it might have some dangers, and some side effects are there still, so we need to be cautious. So what is the Islamic perspective in this regard, and what do we think? I mean, what do we as human beings need to know about this, and how should be our stance with regard to AI? So we need to refer to Islamic teachings to see if Islam is against this technology or no. Alhamdulillah, we see that Islam is never ever against knowledge or science in any of its form and definition, and always welcomes any progress in science and knowledge. And the learning is always welcomed in Islam and Islamic teaching. So there is no need for us to be worried about the progress of AI, because AI, at the end of the day, is something which has been created by human beings, and human beings are the creatures of God on the scene of the earth, right? But still, if we look at, for example, a knife that we have at our hand, so we can use it for different purposes. Once it is being used for cutting a piece of meat, some it is used for, I don't know, for some good purposes, and sometimes in order to tear up the belly of a person. I mean, so at the same time that it has some benefits, it might have some actually dangerous as well in that regard for those who are going to use it in the wrong way. But we see that the benefits of AI or in artificial intelligence is too much, and it elevates and facilitates the life for human being, and it gives them lots of privileges that they were lacking of and before, or it actually speeds up to the other branches of science and knowledge. So it is quite clear for us that it has lots of benefits. But at the same time that we look at the benefits of it, we need to be cautious for the dangers that it might have due to the bad usage of this good technology.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Ali. And, you know, I was reading a quotation somewhere about the artificial intelligence that once the intelligence is solved, every other problem can be solved. And, you know, but the problem is every powerful technology has its own actually potential benefits and potential risks that we have to take into consideration. And the thing that is discussed here is that maybe this artificial intelligence can be developed to a level to think actually independently. And when it comes to this stage of thinking independently, it may have some religious beliefs. It's something natural. When you think, you will have some beliefs. And, you know, artificial intelligence will get out of its objectivity, and it will be it will get closer to this subjectivity and being biased and also prejudice and other things, other features of all human beings. So with all this power, what can we do about this potential risk, Sheikh Rouhani? We may get from this objectivity of this artificial intelligence to this emotional level and stages of development of these creations. And when we come to this level, they may have some religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's something natural. And they are more powerful than human beings.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, artificial intelligence, first of all, we should understand that when it comes to, because our question is that we are now comparing, between human being and artificial intelligence. Intelligence, yes.
Yeah.
That are they completely similar to each other, or they are different? Or is it possible for artificial intelligence to become a complete human one day, to act exactly like human being? Yes, we might look at this phenomenon from different perspectives, but I prefer to look at this phenomenon from Islamic perspective, because I'm a student of Hawza Ilmiya Islamic Studies, and of course I prefer to look from a kind of Quranic or Islamic perspective to this issue. You see, based on what we understand from the Islamic teachings and particularly from the views and ideas of Muslim philosophers who are again very much based on the Quranic and pure Islamic teachings, we believe that human being is of two very, different kind of dimensions. One is the soul and nafs. Nafs or soul, nafs is a kind of technical Arabic terms that we can translate it into soul or spirit, something like that. And then we have another thing in human, which is mind, which is called dhihn. Dhihn is mind.
Yeah.
When we study about the artificial intelligence, it seems that artificial intelligence mostly deal with this mind, not with the nafs.
Yeah.
Because nafs is different from mind. Okay? For example, Ibn Sina is of the view, one of the great Muslim philosophers, he is of the view that nafs is something that can perceive itself, without any sensation, without any sensory kind of, sensation, man is able, or the soul is able, to perceive itself. If that is the soul, then of course mind is something that only functions by these sensations. So now, if soul and nafs is something completely different, categorically different from the body, from the mind, from the brain, then of course artificial intelligence only can copy some of the capabilities or abilities of the brain, of some of the kind of mechanisms that work inside our brain. Not that, aspect of our existence, which is soul. Like what? For example, look, we have something like otoscopy.
Yeah.
Otoscopy means to get out of your body. You know, this is a kind of experience that man can have, getting outside their physical body.
Yeah, I know.
And then perceive each and everything from outside. This is otoscopy. It happens to the mankind. Telepathy, which is a kind of communication or connection between this man and that man without any physical or physical or material instruments or equipments or tools. So this is a kind of connection or communication between people which goes beyond this physical nature. And also we have true dreams.
Yeah.
Which sometimes people see in their dreams something that truly happens or occurs in their daily life. So the information that they receive from that dream should come from a kind of sources which is outside the body of human being. Because inside the body, they do not have such ability or such information. For example, sometimes in your dream, in your true dream, you are provided with kind of information that you've never experienced, that you've never seen anyone who can talk to you, who can give you such information. Then you, when you apply those things in the next day, for example, later, you see that everything is true. So where did you get this information? If, for example, man is only this brain, this physical brain, then of course, this kind of information that people are provided with, otoscopy that people can experience, telepathy that people can perform, all these things cannot be answered. So that's why, so these are some very, simple kind of examples that we can give to the audience. But when it comes to philosophical theories, in which philosophers define soul and body and the differences between soul and body philosophically, because it becomes very much scientific or kind of scholarly or professional kind of discussion, we do not go to that aspect. So that's why, for example, from the Islamic perspective, some other points that I can mention here is, first of all, the existence of ruh, then the existence of the hereafter life.
Yeah.
And then the other things that I can mention, which differs completely human being from the intelligence service, is that human is selective when it comes to deciding between some different kinds of desires and inclinations. Man is able to decide very freely, with freedom, independently, by his own intellect. And this is the thing that artificial intelligence might not be able to do that. Or man is always seeking the perfection, taqarrub ila Allah ta'ala, from the Islamic perspective. And also man receives wahi. How can we say that the artificial intelligence can do that?
Yeah.
Man has knowledge of unseen. Artificial intelligence cannot receive that kind of knowledge. Man has ilmul asma, which is a Quranic term, should be explained. The audience can refer to the Holy Quran. Man has ilm al-laduni. Man can have kind of negative or salbi knowledge and ilm. And man has nafs al-lawama. Nafs al-lawama cannot exist in artificial intelligence. Man has fitra tawhidi, monotheistic fitra and nature. We cannot find such things in artificial intelligence. These are the things that exist in the man's nature, in the man's existence and soul, that no one can put them into, or no one can attribute or ascribe these sort of things to the artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, at most, it would be a kind of copy of some mechanisms or what we can say, functions of the brain.
Yeah.
It's not more than that. But all these things that we mentioned about the nature of man goes absolutely beyond the artificial intelligence.
Thank you, Sheikh Rouhani, for your thorough explanation of this artificial intelligence and the difference between the actually nature of human beings and artificial intelligence. I think we are running out of time. Thank you for listening to us. It was a pleasure to be at your service. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Allah. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها